aggressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Irv Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that now I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome to Dial-A-Dork. I am your host, Irv Katz. We are broadcasting live from my beautiful basement here in Cleveland, Ohio. I am joined tonight by Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan.
Hello, Internet.
And General So.
Hi.
Well, okay, hey. Look, first of all, General So is a Chinese person.
Yeah.
And Hi is Japanese.
Oh. Isn't it the same in Chinese?
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
No, that's Japanese.
That's Japanese as well.
Yeah. In Chinese, it's hey.
Ho.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it is
I'm pretty
the same
sure it's
thing.
Hi as well. Yeah.
Anyway, this is Tech Talk Radio News, radio by nerds. For everyone, thank you for joining us. You can email us during the show at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. With any of your tech questions, we'll be happy to answer them as best we can, given our limited resources and limited motivation.
On a technical note, can you please get the PayPal Fishers to stop spamming our email account?
Your levels look real bad there, by the way.
High or low?
Way low.
High or low? I'll try to do better.
Okay, I think you just have to talk into that microphone pretty closely.
Okay.
This is the typical crap we go through at the start of the show here in my makeshift studio. Yes, I would love for the PayPal Fishers to stop and the eBay Fishers to stop and the JP Morgan Chase Fishers to stop and the Citibank Fishers to stop, but they don't seem to be stopping. I'm even getting new versions of the 419.
Yeah, same here.
From England.
I got one from Russia.
Well, good for you.
I think it was actually like Moldavia, and I didn't even know if that place really existed.
Oh, yeah, Moldavia. I believe that, what was his name? He was the Scourge of Moldavia.
Yeah, but I thought it was Ghostbusters, man. I thought that was all fake.
Ghostbusters, too. It was Vigo.
Oh, Vigo, that's it.
Vigo, the Scourge of Moldavia.
Not Mortensen from The Lord of the Rings.
That's a different Vigo.
That's a different Vigo, okay. Not related, maybe.
That's a different Vigo.
They could be related.
I think Viggo Mortensen is Scandinavian, whereas Viggo the horrible or whatever he was in Ghostbusters 2 was clearly Eastern European, where all bad people come from. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Well,
so,
did you just channel Russ?
I don't know. Maybe we did. Oh, I do
I
believe that the nicknameless Russ Miller is with us here tonight.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Summoning.
He's got a bag of goodies.
He's got a bag.
And a really blue
from
shirt.
From Dave's Supermarket. Wow, that shirt is blue.
That's the bluest blue I ever saw.
Wow, that shirt is blue.
How blue?
How blue is it? It's so fresh. What did you bring for dinner? Oh, Mike and Ike's for Drew.
You know, I was
going
to stop and get some Mike and Ike's, but I went to the gas station instead.
Mike and Ike's for Drew. That is outstanding. And Poppy seems interested. And,
and Twizzlers.
Twizzlers cherry bites. Wow. And Diet Pepsi 2 liter. Russ, you're just bearing
Russ
gifts,
man. He's Santa Claus tonight.
He is. Santa Russ.
If Santa wears
Russell Claus.
Blue. Russell Claus.
Russell Claus.
How'd you get your shirt
Russell
so
Claus
blue?
Indeed.
It's born there.
It's just born there. That was how did the cream get inside the Twinkie? It's just born there.
You know, that is a fascinating process. I saw it on Discovery Channel once.
That's good to go. You might need to turn it on and talk right into it. That's the worst
thing. What do you think?
Twinkification on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
I like to say this
huge vats of cream with like little spigots coming out the bottom. I stuff it right in the Twinkie. It was fantastic.
Can I just say one thing? that our good friends over at John T. Zubel Books over on West 25th here in Ohio City, antiquarian and scholarly booksellers, who have the largest online catalog of antiquarian books of any retailer.
You should mention their website.
Go to Zubel.com, Zubal.com, or ZubelBooks.com. I think they both work. Anyway, one of their facilities where they use to sort books that they have bought and store equipment and store many, many, many books, is the old Hostess Twinkie factory for, I don't know if it was for Cleveland or for Northeast Ohio or for...
Probably for the whole
the
Midwest.
Midwest or just a multi-state region or what. However, I said if you come across any Twinkies, they're probably still good to go because it's been in their family for a couple of decades now. And they said that actually when they bought the facility and moved in, they found some, they did find some like industrial tubes as part of the manufacturing process, still had goo in them. And it was still...
It's not goo.
Plenty edible,
cream.
And they never cleaned it out, so it's probably still there and you could probably eat it.
An industrial, like, caulking gun of goo.
Well, it's probably pretty hard by now, I have to believe. I don't know. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Russ, you were going to say something, and I so rudely interrupted you, as I'm wont to do.
That all sounded way more interesting. I was just going to mention that I got my very blue shirt from Amazon for $9 because I was littered of it by slickdeals.net.
Slickdeals.net, I've heard of them. Is that
great
like
website, has an RSS feed. Your deals just pop right up.
That's fantastic. What is that like Fat Wallet? Is it the same kind of thing or is it different?
I don't know. Tell me about Fat Wallet.
I don't know. Fat Wallet's like I think one of those sites where they're always telling you where all the really good deals are on like at you know, like special codes to enter at Dell.com or something to get 25% off or something like that.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. Tell you when you can stack coupons into amazing
there
savings.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Thing. Right now you can get a free Schick Intuition Razor for women. Let me see where that's from.
Why would they call it intuition?
It's a feminine thing. You wouldn't understand.
We're males. Did you forget?
All I know is that for guys, they just continue to push the envelope of how many razors they can pack, how many like blades they can pack into one razor.
Stupid.
I hear they're up to five now.
Yeah, and you know what? It's the dumbest thing that they can possibly do.
Why?
Because for anybody with, you know, a thick beard or a tough beard, the more razors, the worse, because the hairs just get jammed up in there, and then it doesn't cut anymore. You need to have a little room in there.
That many more grooves to clean out.
Exactly.
So this is all just stupidity.
Exactly. Personally, I like the old three blade. The heck is it? The classic.
Schick.
Yeah.
This is Chuck Schick. He'll be clerking for me this summer. All right. So what would you like to talk about today, fellas? There's all kinds of unbelievable things in the news. We really haven't done a show in a little while, so
I don't believe it.
We've got a million things we could talk about. I actually left the list over there, so if you'll excuse me for a second, you guys need to carry the torch here for about a minute while I go get that.
So Russ, we bet Matt that he can't finish that General Tso's by the end of the show.
Oh, I didn't know it was by the end of the show.
That's well, yeah.
Excellent. He doesn't even seem to be trying.
It's bigger than his head.
They didn't even put any money up on the table, so I'm not inclined to, you know, accept this challenge.
I think that is like 800, 1,500 calories, a ballpark there.
I'm going to go with 5,314.
Might be right. I'm going to check nutritiondata.com and see what I can come up with.
Yeah, check it out. See if you can get some General Tso's chicken up in there.
You know what doesn't go with Mike and Ike's?
General Tso's chicken. Light beer does not go with candy. You need a dessert beer to go with candy. Something heavy and glorious like Guinness.
Like a Riesling.
A dessert beer?
Or a Belgian quadruple. That would be perfect.
I had one of those, but
sounds
she
like
said I couldn't talk about
does.
It.
Money's good.
I used to be able to do a Belgian quadruple when I took gymnastics.
I saw Rodney Dangerfield do it once on, what was that, Back to School.
Hey, speaking of Belgian quadruples and dessert beers and so on and so forth.
Are we going to talk about beers today?
Well, it seems like a perfect segue into the wonderful news that local Cleveland breweries,
Thirsty Dog and
Happy Cap.
No, it wasn't Happy Cap. What was the other one?
Drunk Hamster.
Thirsty Dog
and Hungry Cat.
Oh, Rocky River Brewing Company.
Yes, Ohio breweries captured 4 medals, including 2 golds, at the Great American Beer Festival last week in Denver, which I can only assume is a prestigious event.
Well, it was attended by more than 2,465 people or something like that.
No, I think it was attended by 20,000 people.
Oh, was it 24,000 people?
Well, let's see.
Why don't you go check?
Well, let's see. Rocky River Brewing Company, which I'm guessing is in Rocky River?
Yeah, it's on Center Ridge near Westwood Town Center.
Terrific. Received a gold medal in the experimental beer category for Mexicali Smoke, a version of the brewery's Culminator smoked box spiked with chipotle peppers.
Intentionally spiked?
They also got a silver in their specialty beer category for Neptune's Nemesis.
I have comment. I've had both the Culminator and the Neptune's, and those are both solid beers. I'm really not turned on by the jalapeno-flavored Mexicali
Chipotle.
Beer. Chipotle, whatever.
It's a smoked jalapeno.
A chipotle?
In adobo sauce, typically. Adobo is what you're really tasting, probably.
Yeah, but it's in beer. I mean,
isn't adobo what they live in?
No, that's an adobe.
Oh, that's an adobe.
And that's wrong nation. That was the
wrong nation.
Nation
under God.
Was that the
indistinguishable?
Not the Navajo. It was the Pueblos. They lived in adobe houses.
Now Pueblo is where you get the consumer brochure.
No, that's Playboy.
That's Pueblo, Colorado. A Thirsty Dog brewery based in Independence. Independence?
They have solid beers.
Where in Independence?
I don't know where what corners they are.
Don't they have a restaurant in Akron or thing?
Okay. Yep. They received a gold medal in the Imperial Stout category for its Siberian Night. And I have to believe that, you know, to win in the Stout category has got to mean a lot. Because I think, it seems to me that all the...
That's fine.
You can say fuck yeah if you really want to. You're free. It's a fucking ice cast and podcast. We do whatever the hell we want. Anyway, the point is that that you should tell your kids to go to bed now. No. The point is that I think that all the most beer snobs seem to it seems to me that you can't become a fully qualified, beer bitch or beer snob until you come to appreciate stout in all its many forms.
I'd say that's right. You cannot be a beer god if you have not sampled the wide variety of beers that are out there.
Well, you have to at least profess to like stuff.
Poor American, light beers to really heavy and syrupy, almost meads.
Okay, very good. Well, so I have to believe that winning in the stout category has to be a great honor.
That no one else doesn't go with Miller Lite? Radio.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. But I have to say that the beer in Ohio is outstanding. 466 U.S. breweries placed 2,335 beers and ales in 69 categories, earning 206 medals. 9 Ohio breweries competed in the competition. No mention of Great Lakes.
No, and I wonder if they are too large a distributor now. Not considered microbrew status.
That's very interesting. A record 29,500 people attended this year's festival.
I think we should make an effort to go next year or maybe do an ice cast from the Thirsty Dog Brewing Restaurant.
Well, that sounds great to me. I've only been to Denver once, and it was just in a layover on my way to my honeymoon in Hawaii. It's a neat airport, though, I'll tell you that.
It's a good town.
It was a fantastic country. City. It's one of the best city countries I've ever been to.
I think it's a city-state.
No, Athens is the best city-state ever made.
There are no gulags in Colorado, as far as I know.
Well, so be it. So local beer makes good. And I think we can all say
that. Aren't those things they just hand out? It looked like the headline said they handed out like 17 billion awards. Everybody gets an award to go to those things.
206.
Well, no, that was the U.S. breweries won 206 medals.
Did it say a total number of medals?
Maybe we should go look at the actual website for the thing.
What's our next topic while you're looking that up?
Well, let's see. Why don't we talk about iPods? Why don't you guys yak about... Let's get Drew involved
here. But hold on a second here, because I think Drew hit it on the head earlier, and that really all we can do is drool over the iPod Nano and not really comment on it. But hopefully Drew has something intelligent to say.
Rare.
Drew.
I like iPods.
I have a controversial iPod statement. I recently acquired an iPod. There was a great deal on Amazon I was made aware of by slickdeals.net.
How much are they paying you tonight?
They pay me every time I buy something. I've saved so much money with what I've spent there.
Did you buy your car through Slick Deals?
That's right. No, I didn't. Anyway, so I've got an iPod now, and it's made me, it's hampered my lifestyle. It takes me like 17 times as long to get in and out of my car now.
Why?
Huh?
Because I got to F with my iPod.
What do you mean?
I got to get in there, I got to take out this little baggie, I got to stick in the iTrip, I got to find the station, I got to go back to the station, I got to make it play on that station, I got to find a song, I got to put
wait,
a
wait,
playlist,
wait, wait, wait.
I got
to... Just leave your car radio on your iPod station.
To quote
says then, it goes
Artie, I think the appropriate response is, wah, I have an iPod,
I'm just
wah.
Saying there's a downside, there's an impact
I don't know how to work
lifestyle.
My radio, wah.
Oh, it's not the radio, it's a stupid iTrip.
Well, I don't have any trouble at all.
What's iTrip?
Maybe you should take a long time to get out of your
I get my playlist
anyway.
Together on the way to the car, and I press play, and by the time I start the ignition, it's good to go.
I think that's... If I didn't have the little baggie I bought from Timbuktu, then...
And was that on sale, too?
It was not on sale. That was rather expensive, but not compared to most iPod wrappers. And it's by the Bike Messenger Company, so you know it's hip. And it's pretty effective for what I wanted to do.
It's pretty
anyway,
tough. It's like
yours is probably all beat
or
up.
Something.
Mine's not going to be beat up, but I'm going to be inconvenienced.
Mine's beat up, but I got a skin for it from decalgirl.com.
But don't you lose it all the time with that camo skin?
Yeah, I can't see it right now.
Don't take it into the woods, man.
It blends into his camo seat covers in
do
his car.
Not take it into the woods.
In the week or so I've had my iPod, I've listened to it with earphones once.
How do you like the Apple earbuds?
They work fine for me. I hear you lose the little foam covers quite a bit.
Yeah, they fly right off.
They've come off twice, and I don't even use them much, so...
What is the iTrip? Is that a little FM thing?
It's
or
a broadcaster.
A little FM thing?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I kind of wish I'd gotten the version 2.0 of Griffin's. This is a Griffin's iTrip.
Help me out here. Hold the iPod. Thank you.
Because version 2.0 lets you kind of adjust and change the station it broadcasts on a little bit easier. It's got a dial and an LED.
It's true that adjusting the station with the version 1 is a chore.
So here's what I've been running into. I've been meaning to ask you about this. Since you're an iTrip aficionado as well. When you just shuffle all your songs, does it occasionally play the station changing songs?
Yes.
That bites my chode.
Wait a minute.
Wait, explain yourself. What are you talking
iPod-less?
About?
iPodless.
All right.
Yeah,
so
I don't have an iPod. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
In version 2.0, there's a little wheel on this little guy that clicks on top of your iPod and plays your stuff, and
on
you can
the
adjust on the iTrip.
Okay.
You adjust the station it's playing. Version 1.0, as you see, no dials, no knobs, no readouts.
Okay.
You have to go into a specially designed playlist, which lists all the stations that you can play it on, and play that little snippet.
Yeah,
and
you choose the station you want, and you hit
choose
play.
The station you want, and you hit play. It goes through some code thing, and you have to pause in the middle, and it's a huge hack to control the thing up there.
Yeah.
I'm actually starting to realize that the simplicity of design is way overdone on the iPod. The fact that there's no button for shuffle means you got to navigate menus like multiple times just to shuffle an album. Or you got to go up to your preferences. You got to turn shuffle on for album.
On the
Why not have a shuffle button? My CD player
indeed.
Does.
Indeed.
At our recent visit to the Apple Store over there at
Apple Store.
Apple Store over at Legacy Village, the iPod Nano I was playing with had shuffle in two clicks. Is there a software upgrade for the iPod that changes
it's
the menu system?
No, it's not too bad. You go to the main menu.
You menu all the way up from the song you're playing to the top.
Yeah, and you go
to
settings.
Two or three clicks.
And you go to shuffle.
Setting shuffle, and then you can select between a couple different options there. Hardly.
Well, here's
two
what
clicks.
I suggest: make your playlist beforehand on iTunes, and just pick one of those.
I think it is kind of a forcing you into their whole worldview because I do not. Strongly participate in iTunes right now. I kind of manage my own music collection, and that's seemingly not going to work out.
Yeah, that's not going to be good for you.
The bastards have me. It's like buying into Windows XP.
In for a
or
penny,
or anything
in for
on
a pound.
Microsoft. You hit Exchange. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Bastards.
On a more technical note, dealing with Microsoft, for any company that is considering buying BlackBerries... For their staff.
Oh, my company just bought BlackBerry and got a free BES server.
A free what server?
BES, the BlackBerry Enterprise server that plugs into Exchange.
Uh-huh.
For free, they're giving everything away with the BlackBerry.
Is their mail application called Blackmail?
There might as well be, because I want to ask you, did your company have Exchange before you got the BlackBerries?
They did.
Okay. Imagine this situation. Company buys BlackBerries and then decides after the fact that, maybe we should get Exchange Server to, integrate with this one,
Well,
for companies considering that, just consider it as part of the total cost of getting the BlackBerries of all this other crap that you need to buy to make it all work.
Well, I may have been involved in the company that's doing that. And I recall fighting against, or actually learning about the BlackBerry whole system a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And
I believe our previous employer was contemplating just such a thing.
And so we were on a Unix-based mail system. BlackBerry will not talk to. Basically couldn't use it at the time. Now there's some web mail that will do IMAP and POP to standard mail systems. But at the time, it was pretty much Exchange or Lotus or nothing. And the whole BlackBerry infrastructure is very proprietary. They got out there on the market first. They did their own thing to make it work. And then they realized, of course, we don't interoperate cleanly with a lot of standards and all that. So now they're making the land grab now that all the iPod and Trio phones, not iPod, iPac and Trio phones are out there and everything. And they're giving away everything. It's an amazing move.
But it's not amazing. It's terrible. They're evil.
Yes. Well, I'm less concerned than I used to be about their structure, because I don't think they're going to go away with this land grab, so they'll eventually get up to date.
So you mean that they will, their system, their BES, their will work with any mail system?
I think eventually it will, yes.
I mean, what's the hindrance to it? What does it talk to Exchange so specifically that...
Exactly. There's no real good reason. They could have easily done it with standards. They just didn't. Because they rushed to market. They rushed to market, and now they had inferior technology. Then a better technology came along, and now they're saying, crap, we're going to be gone if we don't give away our phones with pizzas. Have you seen these?
I've seen them. I'm jealous. I'd like to have a phone, but I will not. I mean...
They're giving away everything.
Rush to market with standards, not with, proprietary dongles and
you're
doodads.
You're singing my song, but they may have a strong business model. If they survive the next 2 years, it was... Exactly because of this giveaway in the last 2 months.
What happened with them up in Canada? Didn't they get ruled against?
The name of the company or something?
I don't remember. Yeah.
RIM is the company that stands for something. Something in motion. But I don't remember anything.
All right. Well, we'll have to look into that a little bit further. Are there any alternatives to BlackBerry anymore?
You can get fully function Microsoft-based PDAs that will do mail.
Well, how about will they work with non-Microsoft mail servers?
I think you're using a stripped-down mail reader that'll go to anything, yeah. The cool thing about the BlackBerry is they really optimize pushing out the mail. It's kind of, think about how cell or pager pushes out its messages. They kind of really have that all down so that it's pretty convenient for the handheld. Whereas you're adapting all these wired and whatnot standards into this lesser bandwidth world in the normal stuff.
Well, I appreciate your discussion, but
yes, thank you for your insight.
Still,
how you doing on General So?
Pisses me off.
Two cups of General So's, 830 calories. I think you might have more than two cups, though.
Is it really 830 calories?
Got two cups,
I think you may
rice.
Have four cups.
I told you I got 5,300 calories here.
I have some clarification about the Great American Beer Festival, if anybody's interested.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can go to
100 participants, 200 awards.
You can go to beertown.org. If you want to see the winners list, so on and so forth.
Going down.
Attendance 29,500, up from 28,000 last year. Volunteers about 2,700. Volunteer hours.
That's one I'm
going to
volunteer for.
How many breweries did they say?
Breweries at the fest, 377. Beers at the fest, 1,672. Breweries in the competition, 466.
Woo!
Beers in the competition, 2,335. Categories judged 69, number of judges 109, average number of beers in each category 34.
Drunk judges 6.
Category with highest entry, American style India Pale Ale with 103 entries. Medals awarded 206. It's just for American breweries only.
What
the big winners?
Great Lakes there?
Great Lakes was there.
Oh, snap.
They didn't win even bronze in anything.
The Dortmunder Gold won, and I was actually at the Great Lakes Brewery, and they have all their awards up on the wall, and hardly anything's in 2000. It's all from the 90s.
Interesting.
Dortmunder's still solid beer.
It's absolutely the best beer in town.
This year's big winners, Large Brewing Company of the Year, Anheuser-Busch.
Why do they bother with that award?
People, mid-sized brewing company of the year, Sierra Nevada.
The press it needs. We better start plugging them.
Sierra Nevada?
Mid-sized brewing company of the year, Sierra Nevada. Small brewing company of the year, Sandlot Brewery at Coors Field. It's like a little home cooking
there.
That's
a little weird, yeah.
Large Brew Pub of the Year, Iron Hill Restaurant and Brewery, Wilmington, Delaware. And Small Brew Pub of the Year, Pelican Pub and Brewery, Pacific City, Oregon. Do you have any particular categories you'd like to hear about of the winners?
How about the stouts?
Well, unfortunately, okay, well, let's see. You got Robust Porter.
I've heard that.
Porter,
Imperial Stout.
Yeah, Imperial Stout. Yeah.
You want to hear Imperial Stout?
There should be Imperial Stout. There should be Milk Stout.
Milk Stout?
Milk Stout.
No, there is no Milk Stout.
No Milk Stout?
Imperial Stout. And the winners, let's see. Bronze went to Big Rock Chop House for their Got Rocks Russian, and that's Michigan. Great Divide Brewing Company with their Yeti Imperial Stout. It's from Colorado, took the silver. And Thirsty Dog Brewery from Ohio with their Siberian Night took the gold.
How about Double Bock?
Double Bock.
Yeah, Double Bock.
That's not a...
Is that how Indians hide their tracks?
There's British Stout. There's Brown Porter.
No,
there's Bock.
Oh, well, if there's Bock, there should be Double Bock.
There's no double... I don't see anything just called Double Bock. There could be something, you know, could have another name or...
Oh, it's under India Pale Ale.
Nine?
We've got Strong Scotch Ale, Hefeweizen. I know that's not it.
All right, that's enough. You know, we could talk about beer for all night, but we are supposed to be talking
about
technology.
I want to hear about the Hefeweizen. So. South German-style Hefeweizen. Silver was a... There was a bronze went to Sandlot Brewery for their Wild Pitch Hefeweizen. You know what? Who cares? Okay.
Beer is good.
We love beer. Let's go to Denver next year for the festival. I think that's a worthwhile exercise.
I think Thirsty Dog had let us broadcast from their brewery.
Yeah, but how are we going to do it?
It's on the wrist.
We
would just have to record it and then just post it later. Maybe bring a laptop and just record it into
stomp
a laptop.
Box,
and
maybe stomp box.
We could do it on a BlackBerry.
No.
Well, I mean, the thing I'm concerned
about
is
move the software onto a laptop.
Well, do they have a wireless network
we could
use?
We could find out.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll look into that.
So we talked about the iPod. At least you guys talked at length about your iTrip and so on and so forth. What are your impressions of the Nano, the lovely little slick little Nano?
Looks cool.
Yeah. Now, I mean, have you heard about, I hear like the screens cracking and the case is easily scratching and things of that nature? But I guess Apple's repairing them all for free. Have you heard about this?
I've heard about that.
They claim it's the same material as in the regular iPod, so they can't understand why.
The article I read said that Apple claimed that it was a manufacturing defect and that they were just, you know, replacing all of them, so no big deal.
Did you hear about the big announcement on October 12th?
Well, it's not October 12th, so how could I hear about it?
It's a pre-announcement.
Oh, okay. Well, what is it?
That Apple will be announcing its video iPod on that day.
Video
iPod. Rumors.
What kind of screen technology are they using? OLED?
I don't know. That'll be in the announcement.
OLED.
You're a video guy. October How much 12. Space? What kind of multiplier are we talking about to store video versus storing?
Well, there are numerous formats, as we all know.
You
know, we're obviously talking about some kind of compressed video. I expect it would be, well, it could be DivX, but I bet you it's going to be something more. It's either going to be it'd be QuickTime, wouldn't it?
Probably
it'd have
be
to be QuickTime. It's really all in the resolution. I mean, you can, depending on the
so QuickTime's not really by 480. Or 480 by 640, whatever.
I mean, well, that's the thing. It's like if you're going to watch it. You think you're going to get 640 by 480 on a little screen?
What's the resolution on your screen, Drew? It's got to be 320 by 210.
I don't even think it's 320 by 240.
Well, that's a quarter of the 640 by 480. So just give us a number for one of those.
Well, I don't have like the bitrate calculator built into my brain.
I just want a rough size of how big so a 3-minute video would be.
3-minute video is probably only a couple of megs. I mean, it's not going to be big at all.
But the question
at that
is,
size.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I think. But not like you can watch it while you're driving.
Well,
you can watch it on a plane.
Inevitably, it's going to happen. You're going to be following some ass nut on the highway, and you're going to see the screen through his rear window and be, you God. Oh, and it just goes from there.
Look, I think if you ask me, I don't want
to like
carry.
It's like following somebody talking on their cell
phone.
Look,
if I don't have to carry.
Just
want to
kill him.
A DVD.
It contributes directly to road rage.
And sometimes show rage.
I think you're way off the deep end here, man. We're talking about a little. Is this a little handheld thing or is this a big thing?
But what's the point?
So iPod-sized
you keep
thing.
It in your pocket
so
or this little baggy thing to listen to
it's
it.
It's going
to
be fantastic, man.
Oh, bullshit.
I don't think that's true.
Well, if it comes with a little TV tuner, I think that would be nice, too.
The
but if I'm on a plane, I might like to be able to watch a movie without having to carry a little portable DVD player
You know
with
what?
Me.
Get yourself a PSP or a DS if you want to watch, you know, movies.
Well, those
on
are
the,
pretty
on the
sweet,
plane.
Too. But I'm talking about, you know, with the iPod, how much storage is there on the PSP?
You buy the movie cartridges.
Well,
itself.
I don't want to do that. I want to have like 10 or 15
bring
movies on my iPod.
You. Well, the thing is,
please, how often are you going to watch them?
100,000% of your attention.
Shut up! Go ahead. not you.
I mean, you can listen to audio and do other stuff. You can't really do the video thing and listen and do other stuff. So now you got to chunk out time to actually pay attention to it.
And do you really want to enjoy a DVD on an iPod screen that's the size of a...
Monkey?
Depending on the quality of...
Very small monkey?
Depending on the quality of the display, I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, I used to watch my little handheld TV, which was 2 inches diagonally. And
that's a great example. I mean, those things are useful in very small certain circumstances, but you didn't see everyone buying one of those.
Did you ever watch DVDs on that little 2-inch screen?
Well, you know what? I actually hooked up my Commodore 64 to it once.
Well,
how about them apples,
fantastic.
Mofo? Here's the
how about
here's
you
the thing.
Used to,
if I had
used to watch an odd baseball game or something on your little screen, and you
all
listened
right.
to it more than you watched it.
How about this, Jagoff? How about on your lunch break,
listen,
you watch another?
Chest.
How about look? How about you have like a whole, you know, like a whole season's worth of Doctor Who episodes stored on your iPod video? Okay, now what if the resolution? What no? First of all, if it has a video output, where I could maybe you know run it to something else and it still look decent, that's another thing to consider. Another thing is that
but then you run into the space limitations.
Well, absolutely, you do run into space limitations. But on a TV, you don't need. I mean, VCDs are 320 by 240 or 352 by 288 or something like
right,
that.
But they're gonna have to do.
They
it
look.
Planning
they
HD.
Look okay. They look okay on a TV.
Right, but they can't do this looking at TVs. They're going to look at HDTV, and it's higher resolution.
And if I'm going to be anywhere with a TV and wanting to watch a movie, there are a billion other formats in order
look,
for
all
it,
all
to
of
do
this,
this
is moot because the video iPod coming out is going to have a terabyte
That's
of
true.
Data because it comes with a backpack full of hard drives
well,
that so you carry around
and a
with
UPS.
You. Only weighs about 80 pounds, and it all works on kinetic energy when you walk. And, yeah.
I think people would take it to the gym.
With the backpack.
With the backpack.
Now, I'm sure there's going to be a little accessory you put on it, and it will double the size of the screen, a little magnifying screen you put on there.
And you can still use it for all your songs, I'm sure.
Sure. I think it's a natural progression, and I think you're just falling behind the times, old man.
Ouch.
It'll be interesting to see if you can catch on.
I think it would go nice in the front pocket of your walker.
The use of those little tiny DVD players seems to be really focused on kids in the backseat of cars.
Right.
You
right.
don't see humans using them.
Exactly.
Fully formed humans.
We're humans here.
Just those short dumb people.
Well, I don't think it went to sleep, but I do think it went into some sort of screensaver mode. I think I'm gonna jump on VNC here and try to wake it from its slumber. But go ahead, keep talking amongst yourselves.
No, I think we're done. I think we've come to a consensus.
For the video iPod, we got nothing.
Yeah, you know, we're still stolidly against it. It's stupid. Not to mention, what is it going to do
then
the price of the thing?
Well,
they're already overpriced as is. Have you calculated the price point that's the best? You know, how many gigabytes you get per the dollar you're spending? Which one's the best?
Or you have to wait for a deal to show up on Russ's XML.
And yeah, I don't know. I got mine for $9. Arguably under 200 for 20 gigs and no photo screen.
What do you mean arguably under 200?
Well, I had to buy the iTrip with it, so it was 217 total.
But with like a rebate or something like that?
It was a $38 off to get to that 217. So if you price the iTrip fully, it puts the whatever that is, like $30-$40. You get what I'm saying.
Did it come back on?
Absolutely.
Hey, it came back on.
All right, well, we're done with iPods now.
I don't want to talk about iPods anymore.
Well, we should talk about the iPod Nano hack.
Which one?
What's the iPod
the
Nano hack?
Space on it? Did you see anybody see that?
What?
You lie.
It's from AnchorBud, actually.
You lie. 200 gigs on an iPod Nano?
AnchorBud.blogspot.com is a link to the encyclopedia article that'll tell you step by step how to do it.
Well, what do you do? What does it do?
A CD hard drive.
Yeah.
And a soldering gun.
Oh, my God.
You turn it from a Nano to a Dalek.
Unfortunately, it severely impacts battery life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long does it last? About 5 seconds.
Spin a 10,000 RPM drive for off of a Nano battery.
That's pretty humorous.
Maybe a future hack plugging in a UPS.
That'd be cool.
It then significantly really impacts your dancing ability for the commercials.
Not bad. I like that. I like that. Well, what about speaking of handheld devices? Yes. Yes, indeed.
go on.
So
you've got my attention.
Former arch enemies Microsoft and Palm now teaming up to form a make a PDA phone or something?
Well, the Trio 700 is going to run Windows Mobile.
On a Palm device.
I'm pro that. I got to say I like the Palms and what they did. Again, somebody went to market early, but they didn't serve my needs, which is I needed to be able to mess around and edit
my documents
when I'm on the away from this workstation.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Hold on a second. But that didn't serve your needs. Palm did very, very well at doing
PDA.
The stuff, the personal information management that it was built to do. In fact, I don't think that any of the new pocket PCs or any of that kind of crap is better than it. But yes, for doing
right.
You know, if you want a terminal services or if you want to edit Word documents or something
Excel
like that,
Excel document or something that
it wasn't for you.
On. I want to data enter when I'm not near a PC.
You can't do that on a Trio now.
I think there might be ways to, but back when I had my old Palm, which was actually a handspring, and it was
I'm almost 100% positive that the Trio has some sort of document editing thing that can open, simple Excel files and things of that nature.
Yeah, there was one that just came out. I had to buy it for $30 back in the day.
You know what?
I still can't afford one, so I don't really care.
This is all ludicrous. All we're doing with this stuff is finding more ways for work to make us work when we're not supposed to be working.
Actually, I don't do a lot of...
Unplug, Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
Unplug, dude.
Matt's really angry tonight.
MSG.
I think it's the MSG. I have to agree.
It's the General Zoe.
You're not going to finish it before the end of the show.
Oh,
you
General
Zoe, you're a mighty
enemy.
Is
heavy.
But your chicken is so good.
I should have stuck with the Twinkies and Mountain Dew.
Yeah, well. Speaking of getting your work done when you're not supposed to be working or when you're away from the office, as if Google stock wasn't ridiculously priced already, go buy some more because Google and Sun are going to team up and make web-based Office.
Well, hold on.
The announcement came out. There's no Office involved.
Well, but hold on. You got to look at the bigger picture there.
Hold on.
The fact that Sun and Google are talking strategically, Google doesn't do stupid things.
Sun used to do stupid things.
They made a couple decisions that just didn't pan out for them. But the point now that Java will be included, can be, downloaded right from the Google toolbar.
It's the other way around, isn't it? If you download the Java at runtime, you get
it's both ways. It's both ways.
It's a synergy.
It is. It's a strategic offering that should...
Gem is truly outrageous.
Oh, balls,
now
I need
that
power.
That's a classic reference.
You said synergy.
Yeah. I think that it sets the stage for better downloadable components. Your toolbar might be able to do more stuff.
I got to tell you,
I don't need a whole
Google
office
demonstrates
suite.
That Java as like the applet kind of model.
Yeah.
No good. VM's slow and ugly, and you can do a lot better with Web 2.0 stuff in Ajax.
So this is going to be Java-based, not Ajax-based?
Well, that they're,
we don't
they're
know. Who knows?
Sort of technologies in the same space that offer the same kind of thing.
Hit Let me plug that in for you.
I need power. My laptop apparently has about 15. It's probably because I hacked in this 3.5 form factor drive. I didn't really, but that would severely
Are
impact battery life.
Are you running a 15,000 RPM SCSI drive on your laptop?
Your mom is.
Oh, you wish.
All
right, anyway.
I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical about... Herb was just talking into his beer. I think there are possibilities.
I think that right now, yes, the announcement didn't mean a whole hell of a lot, but there's some interesting possibilities there.
We will see. We will see. I'm actually skeptical about the whole office in the Web 2.0 format idea. People seem to get excited. There's a few examples out there.
I don't
there,
give a crap about what format, honestly, at this point, because it's going to be a little while before it. I think it works really well. I pretty much want to bypass the operating system for a lot of stuff.
And that is Google Space in my mind.
Yeah, and I want my word processor.
They made Larry
I
Ellison's
want my spreadsheet program. I want all my crap online, ready to go. I also want my
you need stuff with
my
you.
Financial manager. I want all my stuff.
Well, for what purpose? I just want to understand better here.
So when you buy a new computer, you don't have to spend 2 weeks moving everything over.
And data security, you can get better backups, especially corporately, when you've got all the applications up on a server.
You don't have to have the application online in order to do online storage. I mean, we've proved that already, right?
I don't know. It's still pretty
it's
much
true.
A hassle to get people to know what drives are public and what's local and manage their documents and all that junk. Major hassle.
Well, maybe in a corporate space, but this is Irv we're talking about specifically here.
So there are further challenges.
There are further challenges.
It doesn't really fit into the corporate space.
By the way, if anybody has a job offering, feel free to contact.
But honestly, you know, to address the corporate issue, you know, educate your users, and if they can't learn, fire them and hire some of us who are very talented at this kind
of
stuff.
I don't know, man. There'll always be roles for people that...
Yes, and as Aldo Huxley said, they will be
Aldo?
Aldo? I don't know what the hell.
Aldous. I think you're thinking of Aldo Nova.
Isn't it A-L-D-O-U-S in that kind of a French thing? But anyway.
He's thinking of where's Aldo Huxley. you were saying.
You know, put them in jobs that are appropriate. But anyway, besides that, it's more important to have the documents, isn't it, rather than the actual application?
Well, you can also update
your stuff. A lot easier, you know. Roll out a new version. Everyone doesn't have to go install crap. You don't have to buy a new. Well, you probably still have to buy a new seat or whatever. But you just stick it on the server and boom, it's updated.
I mean, well,
it actually simplifies all kinds of patching and more continuous.
No, I absolutely agree with that reason. I mean, JNLP is the Java Native Launching Protocol, something like that.
That sounds hot.
It is hot. It was called Java Web Start for a long time, and that provides a native
updater
interface within Java to be able to write applications that are web-aware and will download jars, cache them on your local, and manage all that kind of stuff.
And, you know, Microsoft has the infrastructure now. You can go beyond Windows Update to Microsoft Update and get all your stuff up patched and everything automatically that way, too. But
right.
It's a different framework, and I think Larry Ellison said the network's a computer, and the people that made that real is Google, as they start rolling out these applications.
I think Sun actually said the network is the computer.
Well,
a long
that was always
ago.
His big
yeah.
champion, his phrase. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, here we're talking. What about Flock? You guys heard about this Flock?
Spell it.
FLOCK.
Like flock of seagulls.
Do a jumping jack.
What is it?
That one didn't
what?
Work.
Do a jumping jack.
I just
jack?
Trying to. See what he would do when I told him to do it.
Simon says, do a jumping jack.
Russ says, jump. I say,
how
in
high?
What format? that's not right. I guess it turns out there's a new web browser going to be introduced called Flock.
Never heard of it.
Flock's browser is built specifically for a new emerging generation of web users, one that isn't satisfied passively browsing media online. Flock hopes to turn the browser into a dashboard for collaborating, blogging, sharing photos, and reveling in a raft of other group activities that have recently caught fire online.
That doesn't mean anything to me, those words.
They'll probably come up with a few cool things that'll be totally ripped off by the bigger browsers, and that'll be that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, or maybe Opera's already the bastard stepchild. We don't need any more of them around.
It's a good browser, though.
Plus, you know, Opera's
I got a free version. I still haven't really used it.
Well, I don't use it either, but...
Speaking of collaborative efforts, what is this Ning business? Mark Andreessen's Ning.
Yeah, what is
I think
that's similar to Flock in that it really is just a new offering of other stuff that's elsewhere. And
I mean, how long does it take to build one of these social applications, I guess?
It's
a social application platform, which is, I mean, everything from, what was it, sort of like super blogging almost? Like super interactive blogging or something?
I think one of his, one of the example websites was dating.ning.com.
Everything is something.ning, N-I-N-G.
Yeah.
And I don't like the name Ning. Let me just go on the record and say I think Ning...
Ning the nurseless?
Is nurseless.
We need some Flock,
it's disgusting.
Flock Gordon to take out Ning the nurseless.
It's stupid. I think it's a dumb name. However, it's Andreessen, so everybody's going to prick up their ears.
Well, and related... Which of the big computer manufacturers is bundling Netscape again? With that announcement I saw came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, somebody is.
Was it Dell or HP?
Compact.
HP, yeah. It's now bundling Netscape once more.
Right.
Netscape?
Which the announcement I saw was it lets you choose which browser you'll be using by default during setup.
Interesting.
But they were very skeptical because apparently Netscape's kind of bloated and buggy. I use Firefox all the time, but it's slimmed down and doesn't have some of those issues, I guess.
Netscape's owned by AOL now.
Well, there you go.
Speaking of things during setup, somebody, I think it might be Dell, is now selling
the open computer.
Dell is offering a desktop, the Dimension E510N, with no operating system installed. It's designed for people who want to run open source software such as Linux instead of Windows, and it comes with a blank hard drive and a copy of FreeDOS.
Jaywalk of, what's his name? Something Walkenberg.
Yeah.
He went over to Dell and he configured that machine, and then he configured another machine with Windows XP on it. The nearest he could tell they were the same, although they had different model numbers, I guess, because open source needs a different model number. And they were $15 different.
They were how much?
$15 different.
$15 different?
Yeah.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
It means
Windows
it
XP
doesn't
costs
mean anything.
$15.
Yeah, it means Windows XP, yeah. It costs more than that, but the discounts and the incentives make it such that this is just a gambit.
A what?
A gambit. A marketing
gambit.
So this computer is going to sell for basically as much as a Windows XP system, but they don't have to pay for Windows XP?
That could be it.
This is going to be a more profitable computer for Dell, you think?
Well, all I'm saying is he went out there and did multiple configurations, and that's what he ended up with. Draw your own conclusions. Do your own experiments on the Dell configurator if you want.
Your mileage may vary.
I've got a news item that I think is interesting from today.
Okay, hey.
Do tell.
Last thing. Last thing is somebody, what?
Somebody.
Somebody did a nice comparison of the leading online music stores. And, you know, here at Dial-A-Dork, we would not advocate going out and just, you know, using the peer-to-peer sharing networks or any other collaborative type situation to download music to which you are not entitled.
Wait a minute. Is the news item that you're going to share more interesting than this comparison of...
I got stuff to talk about that, too. I don't know about the comparison. I do know that I started using iTunes, kind of, and it's not too bad, iTunes Music Store. But I do know that when you buy an iPod, you start to want to get more music, and I don't have any of those illegal sharing networks installed yet on my work computer, so... I took advantage of everything I could. I got 3 free iTunes downloads from the National Guard. Anybody hear about that?
You signed up for that?
Yeah, it was on Slick Deals, man. I got them. 3
what did
free
you,
downloads.
What did you have to sign
now
up
you have
for?
To join the National Guard.
They called me for more information that I requested, and I said I didn't really want that. I just wanted the downloads. And she was like, okay. It was no hassle at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Really much older than they're looking for, but I got 3 free downloads,
I think the cutoff's
at the price of my government.
32, isn't it?
Government.
Well,
about time the government done something for us.
Believe me, they've put your address on their stop when the truck comes by.
That's fine. I got garbage cans.
So,
I thought you were talking about junk mail, not
iTunes,
Shanghai.
iTunes, 99 cents a song.
Yep.
$9.99 for most albums. And you download it, but you can't. What, you can only download it and put it on your iPod. You can't do anything else with it.
You can burn it on a CD.
You can burn on a CD.
Well, some formats may not allow you to do that, but there's also a plethora, as I've discovered, of ways to get around that.
I like it better than a Windows Media Player. I use it, and I do not have an iPod. If anybody wants to send me one, send it to Irvcast's address.
Also got just by installing
I don't
Winamp.
Think you'll get it, dude.
Just by installing Winamp, you get 50 free downloads from eMusic. Within
50?
2 weeks. You got to actually give them your credit card and everything, but you got to cancel after 2 weeks. 50 free downloads.
Those things are dangerous because I rarely remember to cancel.
I'm pretty good at it.
There's a better way to do that. Most credit card companies allow you to create the temporary credit card number and set a...
I never heard of that.
You've never done that. It's
me and the credit card industry doesn't get along.
How do you do this? What do you do?
You've never done safe shopping with either Visa or MasterCard? Or
no.
That sounds
do
like
tell.
A really good idea.
All right.
Not have covered that.
Do tell.
I know for sure.
You can set an expiration date?
That both Citibank and MBNA offer an online temporary issued credit card number. That's, you know, the bank knows that it's linked back to your account, but it creates a number that you can set the expiration date for and you can set the maximum spending amount on it. So if you got to go buy something for $39.99, you create a number, say it expires in a month, it's good for $40. You give that number to the merchant, the online merchant that you just bought it from, and then after a month, that credit card number disappears, and you significantly reduce the risk of you being the victim of negligent charges.
So this is the perfect way to take advantage of all those crazy things, like exact free credit reports and whatever. You get your free month of credit guard or whatever, and they expect you to forget and get you for at least a couple of months worth of crap.
Just for the fantasy draft season?
They're off.
Yeah, there you go.
Russ Miller.
You know, you have to call them to get unsubscribed from that. You cannot do it online.
Of course. They want your money.
I told them that I would never use their company because obviously they need to entrap people into their products.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they were really hurt.
Yeah, the guy cried.
Ooh, speaking of companies that try to entrap you, I have a complaint about Geico, and I don't know if any of you guys use them for...
Is that where you get your man songs?
No, that's you know...
Oh, Geico, G-E-I.
Yeah.
Is it Geico?
No, Geico.
Oh, Geico.
So, you know, well, my insurance is about to, you know, come up for renewal, and I figured, well, what the hell? You know, they're always saying you can save 15% on car insurance, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I went through their little online dealio, and turned out I was going to save like $200 every 6 months, which
that's
is
a lot
good,
of bucks.
Pretty significant.
It's a good chunk of change. I was like,
that
hell
better
yeah.
be more than 15%.
Actually, yeah, that was a significantly more than 15%.
Okay.
Was it just 15 minutes?
It was just 15 minutes.
So what's
I'll
your
give credit for that?
So what the hell's your problem, dude?
All right, so I submit everything, and as I get to the last part online, it comes back and say, well, there's been after requoting, there's been an adjustment, and you're only going to save, you know, $180 or something like that. I'm still like, okay, I'm okay with that. You know,
but I better hurry up and sign.
That's $360, you know, over a year. You know, okay, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So I get a
that's hooker money.
That's like two appetizers
Vegas
and classics.
All
right, go ahead.
So I get finish it all up, and you know, I get a call not too long after from a Geico insurance adjuster who clarifies for me that I had an accident in 2003. No damage to my car, but friendly. I have to admit,
the little girl could not
be
saved.
She was very friendly, very professional.
As she
no
died.
Problems with that. And said that there was an at-fault accident, and was kind enough to tell me. My insurance company didn't even tell me how much the other guy got.
Did you get her number?
He got $3,200 in car damage and $5,800 in personal damage.
Wow.
I didn't even know this. I filed no claim. I paid, you know, my car had no damage on it. There's no way his car was that damaged, much less him. We stood around on the street waiting for the cop to show up to write up the incident. And she's like, well, factoring in that was at your fault, you're only going to save about $20 every 6 months now. I'm like, well, this isn't even worth my time. And she goes on to further say, and this is what really irritated the fuck out of me, is that the accident is about to fall off of my, you know, history in November. And she said, if I wait another month and call back, well, then I'll get, you know, discounted at the $200. I'm like, well, why don't we just go with that now? You can keep my business, and everybody goes away happy. And choose.
No dice.
No dice on that one.
My computer can't do that.
One month.
I might have an even worse story. I went with the Progressive thing, and I paid the money online, you know, and I got my little card in the mail that says, you are now covered. And then they sent me a bill like a week later that said, now you owe us all this other money. And so I called them up and said, what's the deal? You quoted one thing and then you sent a bill for more. And they said, yeah, we did that.
Did you tell them to go fuck off?
You can't do that. And they said, well, we'll undo it for this year, but next year it's going to go up to that other rate. And I said, well, then next year we'll shop for insurance again.
Interesting. Well, boys, we've hit the wall. Do you want to keep going, or should we?
Yeah, what else we got to talk about?
I have an item. Russ's item.
Russ's item.
Oh, yeah. Russ's item.
The 2005 Top 10 Web Design Mistakes are out by Jacob Nielsen.
All right.
Apparently, he skipped 2004 because I noticed his profile went down last year.
I made about 12.
12 of the top 10?
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of them aren't anything fascinating. Jacob Nielsen is the usability guy. So he knows everything about everything, but he's got one of the most boring websites in the world.
Yeah, but it's very readable.
Yeah, it is. Well, actually, you really want these columns to be narrower so you can read them quicker.
Well, I think so, too, but, you know.
I guess you can adjust your browser if you know enough to
do that. Yeah. If you don't browse full screen. How many people actually browse full screen?
I always browse full screen. Well, if I have 1024 by 768. If I am above that, I do not browse full screen. Maybe I do. Nah, I don't know.
Huh. You were saying. Full
I'm screen? Sorry, I didn't mean
I
to interrupt.
I usually do.
Yeah. My window management technique involves basically maximizing what I'm in at the moment.
That's interesting.
I know people have leapfrogged me on that. I'm hanging back.
Well, I don't know if it's a leapfrog thing. I think it's just two differing thoughts. I do the window thing in smaller windows and rarely do full screen.
I find it so hard to get between them quickly or accurately.
Huh. I maximize most of the windows I use unless I'm working simultaneously, you know, between two windows. I need information over here to, you know, like for instance, right. I've got a text file open with the, you know, with the pirated serial code to the Office installation over here, and I've got the Office install over here, and I need to, you know, reference them quickly or even drag.
All right, well, anyway, so go
let's
ahead.
Hear some of these mistakes.
I think number
one
is probably new this year to be this high. It's a legibility problem, specifically with small font sizes. That really seems to crept into a lot of websites, really small fonts. Not a problem for me, but some people don't like it.
Well, and there's an easy solution to that, too. I think Control Plus increases your font size.
Really? Well, they do mention that one of the other things is that people lock the font sizes in design, and as they call it here, frozen font sizes. So you can't go ahead and change them on your own.
Yeah, that would suck. Yeah.
Non-standard links. Which, I don't know, that's a bunch of junk, but stuff like making it obvious that something's clickable. You want an underline.
Not three colored dots next to a header?
Yeah, like on the anchor button or the default blogger layout. And not using underline text elsewhere is a big one, which I've been running into more and more as more people are out there writing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be doing that. Don't underline text that isn't clickable.
No, if you want to, make it more... attention catching, do use the strong HTML tag that'll, you know,
sure.
Bold it slightly.
And italics if you want people to say it in a special way in their head.
Yeah.
And the other thing that kind of gets me, because you see it more now that CSS is out there, people just put bold and are colored bold.
Yep.
And when you highlight over it, it becomes underlined. That's okay, but I think you can go just underscore your links. Why not?
Yeah.
Why
I not? Think you're right.
And the other thing that drives me nuts is when people bold when you mouse over something. And then all the text on the page shifts. I'm like, I don't think that's a friendly
that's
thing.
Stupid.
That's not on Jason's list.
But
that's mine.
That's a good thing, though, for menu systems. Maybe not.
If they shift around. If it's just a word, maybe, but I don't know. I think these things need to be holding still when you're moving around them.
This is just one man's
opinion.
Saying.
Hmm. It's one of my annoyances.
Actually, I want you to have a look at the
what's his track
the new... NW website and let me know what you think of the navigation
there.
Yeah,
you guys changed that. I haven't seen it. Our former employer hasn't. My former employer. Matt's
so
current employer.
So what's number three?
Number three is Flash. And apparently Jacob Nielsen had a whole bunch of stuff about how to properly use Flash that I've opened in tabs but have not read yet. But apparently people are still using Flash badly. One bright point is that splash screens and Flash intros are almost extinct.
Thank
which is
God.
Funny because a product at one of our former companies had just the worst website. Including a Flash intro.
Yeah, that's true.
It says they are so bad that even the most clueless web designers don't recommend them, even though a few, even more clueless clients, continue to request them.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Ouch.
Although now we're assaulted by flash advertisement, which bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah. Content that's not written for the web, the actual text and what you got up there, is should be short, scannable, and to the point, not really full of fluffiness. Should also answer most users' questions and use common language rather than made-up terms. Bad search, which apparently is something he complains about, but I don't know. Search is okay for me these days. Browser incompatibility, which dropped off the list last year or previously, is back on it now that Firefox is gaining.
That's a major pain in the ass. I don't know. I don't know why it is so. Even the simplest things don't seem to line up right. You know, like just you know, using like I did just plain old, image. You know, image source align left, and then some text to the right of it. I did that in Internet Explorer, and I did it in Firefox. And in Firefox, the text, like in Internet Explorer, I had to add a bunch of line breaks to get to keep the next, because it was like a picture, and there was like about an inch of space or so between each picture, and I wanted the text to, you know,
fill wrap around that.
Not even wrap around. There was less text than necessary to do that. However, what I wanted to do was the next batch of text line up with the next picture.
Okay.
And so I would, you know, go to the next paragraph and everything, and in Internet Explorer, it seemed to do okay. I had to add a few line breaks to push it down a little bit. But in Firefox, it would just mash all the text together and not even observe any of this, and, you know, just...
You want to use a BR clear equals all.
Uh-huh.
It's a break with complete clearing, and that will put a break in your page that causes things not to...
Actually, it's not an incompatibility thing. It's a poor use of HTML thing by the author.
It's not what I'm saying is. It's just a perfect example of how even
so
simple elements that are as old as the web, you know...
BR clear equals all.
You know,
I don't know if that's a real tag.
Behave differently from one browser to the next. It's absurd
HTML?
To me.
That's all I'm saying.
True.
It's all
the other thing is that if you want these to be separate paragraphs, that's the use for the P tag, the paragraph tag.
I used it.
It sounds like this is a job for containers of some sort, really.
Oh, yeah, that'd be hot.
Divs, or even if you want to go old school, tables would sound like where you want to go there.
Well, it's actually I bet you a table would probably be fine.
Did you validate it through the W3C?
I don't know. This was actually a long time ago. I was just, this is not about me. Leave me the hell alone.
Number 7 is cumbersome forms.
People make forms
that are way too lengthy and they're just a hassle, so people don't fill them out and stuff.
That's another
Nothing
good one.
That I really
yeah,
thought
I,
about.
I had an example one today. I was looking up contact information for my dentist, and there was 7 steps.
Just to get them to send you something?
Just to... do a query on their database and tell me the phone number.
Well, that's funny. Number 8 is no contact information or other company info.
I hate that.
That drives me insane.
But that's been a problem since day one. Absolutely. I even worked for a company where all we did was survey about... We basically surveyed websites, if they even existed, because this is like 1996 or 7 or something like that. Even if they even existed, we did the whole Fortune 1000 and did their websites. And... we basically judge them on, you know, how many jumps to get to a phone number, how many jumps to get to an address, how many jumps to get to an email form, something. How hard is it to get a hold of these people?
Crazy.
And it was remarkable. It was somewhere easier than others, but, like, fast food restaurants, impossible.
Well, like, yeah, for some reason, having that information out there and having actual prices on products, especially early in the web, really scared people. We don't want to put something out there. And like people
going
to
calls.
The web to gather information, usually before they make their decisions. They need that out there. Or then try to get in touch
Indeed.
With you.
Indeed.
I think what it is that companies just don't want to talk to us.
That's probably true. I don't want to talk to anybody
when
I'm in a company.
What's that?
I thought markets were a conversation.
I thought they were too, but evidently not. Oh, well, so what's next?
Number 9 is frozen layouts and fixed page widths. Basically, so you can't make your... browser's bigger and littler and really messes with you when you can resize your fonts and things like that.
I don't know if that one should be on the list.
I don't know.
It's all the way down to number 9.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, a columned display. I mean, that's a fixed width, you know?
I think what they're saying is things that don't really flow when you change sizes in your browser or when you change the size of fonts.
Okay.
I think fixed, like a fixed three-frame layout is not what they're talking about.
Okay.
Number 10, apparently, according to his vote count, should have been pop-ups, but he said he wrote enough about them already, so he made it inadequate photo enlargement, which I find interesting. I think he might be onto something, but I never thought about it.
What does that exactly mean?
And you go to a product, and you add a little picture of it, and you go click on it, they just
larger
maybe give
image.
You that same image, maybe
just
a little bit larger.
Bigger and blurry?
Yeah, that's right.
Blurry, it's a problem on eBay.
Yeah, so...
But, you know.
Yeah, it's don't display the same photo and either make it seriously bigger or give multiple views or both. And it talks about how some people doing good design might be worried that it's too big for the bandwidth and everything, bandwidth concerns. But if they're going for the better image, they understand that usually.
Once again, porn does it right. The thumbnails and then you get to the 1280 by 1024 image.
Well, and let me say this. The reverse is a major problem, too. One of my associates sends out... a mass emailing about announcing things for his group, and he will put a picture in there and use the embedded scaling. Where it's like image source and width equals this, height equals this. Meanwhile, it's like a 1.5 meg picture that's been it looks beautiful, but for whatever reason the attachment on his emails 2 megs.
Yeah, for all
I'm
you
wondering
people,
what the hell is. Good. I'm like, what has my friend sent me? I can't wait to see what crazy video file my buddy just sent me. And then it turns out it's just a stinking newsletter with a gigantical pic. So if you ever ever curious, you can just right click in it in like Outlook or something and say copy, and then when you paste into a picture viewer, it'll give you the full deal.
And for all you people with digital cameras out there, check the native resolution of your camera. Some of them now are doing it by 1600 by 1200 and results in like a 5 meg picture.
That's cool. I mean, those are
amazing.
That's
cool.
For God's sakes, before you
shrink
send
it.
Them to people. Well, Outlook has a beautiful thing that when you attach pictures to an email, it often, like the newer versions will ask you, do you want to shrink these pictures for better emailing? And it'll shrink them all down to like 640 by 480 or something like that. Or to like, I think maybe a certain size, like kind of threshold or whatever. But... having said that, you can go and get a program called Irfan View. Load it in Irfan View. Hit Control R.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Irfan View.
Yeah, I guess I always said
Irfan. To me, it's like Irving.
Aldo, Irfan.
It's basically
who knows?
Irving. Irfan, Irving. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
You better ask Amitai about that. That sounds linguistical.
Indeed. Someday we will.
That is a very excellent
anyway,
word. I like that.
Go to Irfan View, hit Control R, and
resize.
And resize the damn thing. And it gives you all kinds of neat and clever ways to do it. Like you can just hit the half button twice, and you've now quartered it.
3 times, and it's an eighth.
We could go on.
Sweet.
How far?
So, okay, so anything else, boys?
That's number 10.
No, that was a great list, though.
I mean, he's right. He's right about a lot of those things. He could probably make a list of 100.
I like to throw out that Irfan View actually is on a list I just ran into today about of open source software for Windows.
It's open source?
Free.
It's totally free, as in beer.
I think it's open source as well. I don't know.
Well, it's totally free, and it always has been. And it's just an unbelievably small footprint, very powerful, can do a lot of photo editing
real
things.
Real basic stuff. Not like your
cropping,
image,
brightness, little things. It has some stuff and has some plugins too.
Well, that's cool.
Did you guys see that other announcement? GIMP 2.4 has been is it right? It was released, I think. That's the next.
The announcement I saw was for a preview, but
preview might have.
I tried to install the GIMP shop a while back, and that blew up my computer bad.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. GIMP shop being the GIMP adapted to look like Photoshop, so users thereof can easily switch to it.
Well, they're
it is open source, apparently, Irfan View.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It is open source?
It is open source. And they list one of the things I was looking for recently, an archiving zip-type program that's open source.
Mm-hmm. 7-zip.
I found a couple of those. They do not list one PDF writer that I found called Primo PDF. That's free.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I found something called Foxit. PDF Viewer, F-O-X-I-T, PDF Viewer for Windows, it launches immediately.
Oh,
no
right.
waiting
Adobe
for
takes
Adobe.
So
and it views them in web pages. You can view them in web pages, too, using the Foxit. 1.3 is the latest version. And the only thing you can't do that you can do with Adobe is email right from the program, which I used to do a lot with invoices. I used to print invoices to PDFs from QuickBooks and then email them right from Adobe to my customers.
I don't like those drop-down menus. So many users are using that, and it breaks because they're trying to access Outlook or something, whatever it uses underneath. I don't like those auto mailers.
Well, I understand what you're saying. What it would do was launch a mappy, you know, window up from Outlook of a send message with the attachment already in it and a sort of a boilerplate subject of like the attachment name or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, Excel does that.
You can't do that with Foxit. You might maybe like Foxit Pro or maybe the next version or two, but let me tell you, it launches instantly. So if you have a slightly older computer and you're stuck using, you know, Acrobat 4 or 5 because, you know, 6 or 7 takes an hour to load, maybe try Foxit PDF Reader.
You know, I did see a fact on how to increase the speed of Adobe's launching. And if you clear out the plugins directory that allows it to do all this other crazy stuff that you don't generally use,
it launches
much faster.
Okay.
Wow, that's a good
tip. That's a good tip.
I may try that just
Because.
All right.
No, I hate how long that takes.
Anything else?
Anything else on our list we can cover quickly?
Not really.
You
we didn't get to
the
music sites,
so.
But screw them.
Yeah, you know,
you lost,
I'm sorry. I gave up on that, man.
Matt lost the General So's competition.
Come on.
1,400 calories
Matt,
later, and I
have
just
you surrendered to General So?
I surrender. Like Napoleon at Waterloo
General
here.
General So has conquered another foe. All right, that's it. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Thank you very much to Nobody for listening, and we will be back,
next week,
2 weeks, whenever I can convince these guys to come by.
Wednesdays, look at Wednesdays from now on.
Wednesdays, 8 to 9, that's the new thing.
So published on Thursdays.
And if you buy a t-shirt from us, we'll cross out Mondays 9 to 10 on WDRE and write in magic marker Wednesdays 8 to 9 on.
But those are still, they have a lot of
they're cool.
Original value.
They're
like,
very
cool. The first one.
Go to dialadork.com, dial-a-dork.com, and you can still get the $10 t-shirt, or you can go to Cafe Press and get a nice, you know, doggy bandana or baby thong, or I don't know what the hell they have over there. Just all kinds of stuff.
First person to order gets Drew's iPod.
Hey, terrific. Drew's iPod, the first person to order the $10 t-shirt.
Quick, send me the website. I gotta order
yeah,
one.
Really, really, really. Yeah. All right, then. Thanks very much for tuning in. This was Dial a Dork. Visit us at www.dial-a-dork.com, and we are out.
Get all those pimps together. It was live.